You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Wizards podcast, your daily conversation about the Washington Wizards. Ben Standick here. Hope you guys are rocking and rolling and whatnot. We are one day closer to the start of the NBA playoffs, talking to you guys on a Friday morning. The Wizards will, in essence, for all intents and purposes, truly begin their playoffs work today. They're going to be practicing later today at Verizon Center, gearing up for Game 1 Sunday against the Atlanta Hawks. I'm going to be heading over there in a little bit. Before I do that, though, I wanted to put up an interview I just did on yesterday, meaning Thursday, with Danny Rurrier, Funny Danny from 106.7. I was over there at the 106.7 studios, more or less. They had a Wizards Caps preview kind of thing with a rotating panel of folks like myself. They had a lot of live fans there, and that was actually pretty cool. I've done a lot of different things now with radio and TV and this and that, but I hadn't really been in front of a group, and it was fun to do that with a lot of the my colleagues in town, a couple people that you know that you've heard here on the podcast, Jay Michael, Chase Hughes in particular, and some other ones I hope to get on in the line. And now we're adding Funny Danny to that mix. We talked about kind of get his perspective on the Wizards, the season, what he sees coming up for the playoffs, reconciling sort of Ernie Grunfeld criticism and versus how things have gone now and so on and so on. And I wanted to get Danny on in part because I've talked to you guys many times about there's a lot of people in this town that when they have talked about the Wizards, particularly at the start of the season or most seasons, frankly, kind of look at them from that 30,000-foot level, you know, dispassionate, not really paying attention to the specific moves, just assuming the worst as always because, hey, you know, you haven't won 50 games since 1978-79, you know, et cetera, that you can assume the bad stuff. Danny is one of those guys who I believe does, in fact, pay attention. I mean, I know he does because I've talked to him before and have gone on his show many times, and so on. And so I wanted to get, you know, I wasn't just asking for somebody because he was on the radio. I wanted to specifically talk to him because I do think he's got a good grasp of this team. So I'll play for that. You got play that for you guys right now. Bunch more podcasts to come, and I'm sure there'll be some sound from Wizards practice as well. So here we go. My interview with Funny Danny. If you miss any of the other podcasts, please go check them out on iTunes or anywhere else you do your podcasting. And if you've got any questions, there's a spot you can leave them questions, thoughts, comments. Go to my Facebook page, Ben Standick, and leave them there. All right, so here we go. My one-on-one with Danny Rurrier at Funny Danny on Twitter about the Wizards, the season, the playoffs, and what to make of how they've turned this thing around. All right, so I'm over at the 106.7 studios in D.C. I'm here right now with Danny Rurrier himself, Funny Danny. You guys just had a fun event. I wanted to do it because I like you guys and you guys are kind enough to ask, but like to have the fans there, that's unique, or at least for me, to have them there. Even for you, you're on the radio all the time and you actually talk to people, but is it different when like it's when somebody's calling versus like you're actually seeing them? I mean, you go up on stage a lot, but like is that extra rush, or is it for you at this point kind of what you're used to?
Yeah, it's kind of a marriage between the two things. For people who don't know, I do stand-up comedy and I've been doing that for 13 years now. In the radio, I'm sitting in a room with Grant. It's just Grant and me looking at each other an awful lot and going back and forth, and you kind of forget that, oh yeah, people can hear this, and they, you know, you're part of their commutes, you're part of their ride home, you're part of their lunch trip, you're part of, you know, maybe listening at work or their distraction or whatever. And people don't listen typically for 4 hours straight like it's a movie, but they check in and out and you're there for them. And it's an interesting kind of marriage between kind of those two media to have that live in-person sort of feeling. They react to what you're saying. You could think something's funny in the studio and it could be crickets in real life, but there you know right away. You know that instant feedback is cool. And it's a cool event. We've done this a couple years in a row now, the kind of playoff pep rally before the first game starts. And it's always a lot of fun. It's great food, you know, nice little turnout. We gave away some tickets. It's just a fun thing. As a reminder, this don't take this for granted. You know, like you can be frustrated and sad the way I'll always am and have been once the season ends or whatever else. And you can whine about why not us, but relevance is a blessing. You know, both inhabitants of the Verizon Center, the Caps have been terrific, have been incredibly well run for 10 years. You cannot say the same about the Wizards, who have 4 playoff series wins in my entire life, right? But here we are, right? Just one, you don't take for granted. The other, go, we're always here. It wasn't always that way. It may not always be that way.
No, absolutely. Now we just, for those of you who I probably already said at the beginning of this, I probably already did an intro. But anyway, you go listen to you got to the Audio Vault podcast. A lot of different people up there talking Wizards and Caps.
Yep, grantanddandy.com.
They even let me do a Caps prediction for some odd reason. I have no idea why, but, you know, what the hell. That's a great thing about sports, right? You can just make a prediction, and you might actually get it right without having to do any real logic or thinking about it. But you talked about getting that interaction with the fans. Doing what I do, with the Wizards, I'm going to talk to the guy. Most of the people I talked about the Wizards are the guys who are on the beat, or the people on the beat, Candace being not being a guy. The people who are on the beat. So we all are coming at it from the same angle, even if we don't agree on everything. Mm-hmm. Then I'll talk to the fans who are really into it, the ones who will email me, I'm sure, like email you guys or, you know, tweet at you a lot about it. But you get that more broad, casual approach because you're dealing with people who are interested in the Redskins, the Caps, the Nats, and all of it. So you, every day, you're getting interaction. What's your sense of the Wizards from the area? Because I can't tell if people buy in or not. I know people are excited, but I can't tell people are buying in or they're just too many years of, oh boy, this isn't really going to end well ultimately, that they're not ready to buy in.
There's no one answer on that, Ben, because there are some who say, guys, look at the evidence. Look at this. Look at this group that took Cleveland. It took a miracle 30-foot turnaround off the bank from LeBron James to win one of the best regular season games of all time at home. Look at this group that went to Cleveland and throttled them. Look at this group that was toe-to-toe with Boston all season long and only kind of faltering at the end here, you know, pulling back off the throttle that wasn't playing great defense or whatever else, slipped to the 4 seed. But this group is really capable. This is the best team we've ever had. And for me, by the way, that's true. As a 37-year-old guy, it's the best team statistically we have ever had. So there's some that say, yeah, they could do it this year, meaning get to that conference final and, heck, maybe even win it and, you know, go be cannon fodder for the best the West has to offer. There are other folks who may be a bit more reticent that kind of see the wrinkles, not as maybe by design, but can kind of see, hey, wait a minute. This is a group that was ninth in defensive rating in the first half. They were so bad defensively in the second half, their overall rating slipped to 20th. So you can imagine the averages they're in. This is a group that, you know, when they needed to close out, needed a stop, couldn't get one. This is a group that, you know, had Otto Porter start off like gangbusters, and he faltered down the stretch. Same at moments with Morris, with Gortat. Now Jan Mahimi's hurt. We're going, there's a ceiling on this thing, so why am I going to get ramped up when I kind of know that LeBron has been to 6 straight finals is looming, when Boston's maybe a little bit more complete, and then when, yeah, whoever comes out of the West is going to be the prohibitive favorite in the finals. So it's a mixed bag, man. I don't know if there's one prevailing feeling. And that's what's been so fascinating about this thing. With Caps fans, there is this, like, one thing. We're great. Everyone knows we're great, but the past. And some people choose to deal with it in different ways. For the Wizards, it's, what do I do with my hands? We haven't really been here. No one really knows what the hell we're supposed to do. This is kind of new territory.
Can I tell you, like, I was at the Red Hot Chili Peppers last night.
Sure.
And I was standing there the whole time. And if I didn't have a drink in my hand, I did not know what to do with my hands the whole time. I mean, I was in a room with too many, like, adults.
Right.
Like, so it was not the headbanging moment. I wasn't on the floor. So I stood there with my hands the whole time, and I could feel it. It was so awkward.
Like, are my hands right now?
Yeah, literally, I did not. It was horribly awkward. I did not enjoy that. So when you just said that, it gave me a non-flashback of my evening last night. All right, let's talk about your feeling, though.
Yeah.
We just went through this segment on your show, and you had everybody, all the panelists, pick Wizards.
Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM. Talkspace.com/boom. BOOM.
I believe there were like 9 of us making picks. Yeah, everybody had them at least conference finals,
yeah,
except for you. And I wonder, what I'm wondering is, like, I listened to you on the radio, and what one thing I respect about how you go at the Wizards, you talk about them, but you don't talk about them from 30,000 feet. And that's one issue I typically have with a lot of people in town who over the years look at the Wizards. They do that because they've been able to dismiss them most, and pretty much you're almost always right. And I think they've stopped, a lot of them over the years have stopped looking critical at them, for better or for worse.
Right.
So they just say stuff, and then they're like, oh, surprise. Like, oh, they're actually not that bad. I'm like, yeah, they haven't been bad for a couple of years. You're just ignoring it because historically that's the case. I know you, though, are living and dying with these things. So when you say that you don't think they're getting past the second round, how much of that is you've looked at the matchups and you just think they will struggle with Boston for whatever reason? Or is it, as the fan in you, I can't get my hopes up. I've been let down so many times. How much is analysis versus protecting yourself?
It's a great question. And, you know, listen, I have to separate that a lot of times. I mean, I'm from here. I'm a DC guy. I'm fans of all the four major sports teams, and I love them so much. And that's part of why I do what I do, is I get to talk. I would do this in my spare time. I'd be doing podcasts, BSing with friends, talking about this stuff. So there's definitely a fandom and a cringe factor. What I've been able to do as I've kind of grown in this role is I can separate those things. So I'm looking analytically at this thing. Boston's home court, I think that's going to matter an awful lot. The Wizards have struggled so mightily, really, since they've been a franchise, as far as I can tell. I mean, maybe I'm over-exaggerating, but since the high pick and roll became the vogue thing, I haven't seen them consistently defend it well. And when you get what Boston can do with a mobile big like Al Horford or Kelly Olynyk, running some of that high screen stuff with Isaiah Thomas, or maybe you can mix some other guys in there, I don't trust Gortat, frankly, to defend that well. And I think, you know, there's no one good solution when you play a team like Boston who can run that to get another offense. Isaiah Thomas can be such a factor offensively. Horford can knock down shots on the pop or roll to the basket. Olynyk is a guy that stretches people out. So the Wizards, to me, have a kind of... If you're one of the 20 or so teams, give or take, and I'm not using whole numbers here, but bear with me, one of the 20 teams that has kind of a conventional right now NBA structure, the Wizards can play with you and there's no problem. You might win, you might lose. If you've got a Rudy Gobert or Hassan Whiteside, an athletic big that's got a wingspan like a condor, that right. changes how the Wizards have done business this year. They look all sorts of uncomfortable against Utah, against Miami, with the starters. The other kind is if you've got a really good, legit stretch five that... You know, the Wizards aren't going to go down low and punish you in the block. I mean, this is the 1980s. Nobody's doing skyhooks at this point. And I don't want Gortat, frankly, to have post touches beyond the occasional get it in the blender so you can kick it back out to a shooter. So Boston's got a couple of those guys, and I think that's a really problematic matchup. They can go small without having to go small, and I think that's a challenge for a team like the Wizards. Plus, you know, again, that home court. I think Boston is a little bit more complete. Some of their young pieces have had good moments. The Jaylen Browns of the world have been nice and then kind of disappeared. But I just get that feeling that crowd in Boston will have them just a tick better than the Wizards are at this point. And it's no shame in that, by the way, because that's the one seed. They're good. Boston's good. The Wizards are good, too. And could they win that series? Absolutely. Everybody who covers this for a living says that they could. It's just this feeling that I got that there's, you know, you're going to need a Porter. You're going to need a Markieff Morris to have a 20-point game in that series.
Right.
Do you see it coming? I don't know that I do, to be frank.
Right. And just because neither one of us are dismissing Atlanta, I think you had it going six.
Absolutely. And they're a threat.
Right. They're a threat. I just, you know, based on what we've seen over the course of the season, the Wizards, if they're playing their best, should beat Atlanta, who looked better of the last few games. But for most of the season, kind of didn't really look like they knew which way they were going. And,
yeah.
You know, as long as Paul Millsap isn't the best player in that series, I think the Wizards can win. Let me ask you a broader question, since I haven't talked to you on the podcast all year. If I'm wrong, tell me. But I think you were one of those people, and there's plenty of them, who going into the last offseason, and almost every year is kind of like with the Wizards, oh boy, Ernie Grunfeld. We're still with the Ernie Grunfeld thing. We're still here doing that. And over the course of the season, even as the Wizards were getting better, I had so many people say to me, oh, the Wizards are winning even despite Grunfeld. And I'm sort of like, well... He did pick the coach. The players on the roster, for good or bad, they're winning, and he's the one who assembled them. But a lot of people still feel like can't get past that. They've been down on Grunfeld for a while, and there's been definitely reasons to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, where for you, and tell me if I'm wrong about if where you were at the beginning of the year, but if they're winning, is there that weird feeling of, well, wait, maybe I didn't like these things, but hey, they are winning, I have to move past that? Or is there some, like, I know some fans where some of the other teams in town are kind of like, boy, if they win, then they won't get rid of the people. And I kind of still want them to get rid of changes. I still want changes because I don't know if I buy what this thing is because I've seen the last X amount of years.
No, I definitely thought that way. And I think that's okay. So people will take that personally, as if it's a personal affront to somebody. You see what I'm saying? In other words, there have certainly been really good moves made by Ernie Grunfeld. Even as I'm critical of a general manager, by the way, in all the sports, that's part of my job is to have opinions and share them. I'm correct, I think, in those criticisms. Like, I think this, you know, it was a bad move to get rid of, to dump a great expiring contract for, to get five wins better, like the Emeka Okafor type deal. I mean, there, you know, the various draft picks or selling off draft picks for cash when you didn't need to do those things. I will be critical of those because they're the wrong moves, in my opinion. But I also laud him for being able to kind of get out of jail. Some of these, I mean, no greater heist in the history of the NBA than Kwame Butler for Caron Butler, by the way. I said, did I say Kwame Butler?
Yeah.
That's a combination of the two players. Brown for Caron Butler. And then giving Caron Butler an extension when he wasn't even starting at that time. People forget about stuff like that. He has absolutely made some great moves. The problem is a lot of times he's bargained from a position without leverage. In other words, you've got to throw in a first-round pick because that's the only way you're going to get rid of the Andrew Nicholson contract. You've got to throw in a first-round pick because that's the only way to entice Markieff Morris away from Phoenix. You've got to throw in a pick to get Marcin Gortat. Those kind of things made you a little bit better. And by getting rid of some of those assets, you now can't be in the dance when the trade deadline comes up. And for the sake of argument, Paul George is available. Franchise could change. You can't be mentioned in the conversation because you lost those assets. Boston was. They're good. They're the number one seed. They also have countless numbers of assets. Now, that's the best model in the league right now, and the Wizards are somewhere in between. But here's the thing. They've got good players, and that bench started off as a disaster. It is now a bench that if those guys, those that group of five of, say, Jennings, Bogdanovich, Oubre, Jason Smith, and Jan Mahimi, that's a 20-win team in the NBA. And I don't say that to diminish it. That's for a bench, that's really, really good, well above league average. So it's certainly a mixed bag. I can absolutely understand frustration, long time with Ernie Grunfeld. You kind of wonder what else, you know, do you, how many chances do you get at this Apple? I know Ted has been very open about saying, hey, I'm only judging him since I've been here. Well, he has that luxury. I don't. I was with the Wizards before Ted Leonsis had a chance to purchase them. So I remember, you know, the getting rid of the top five pick. I remember using it on Jan Vesely when you could have had Kemba Walker, Klay Thompson, Kawhi Leonard. I remember those things. I remember saying them at the time, this is wrong, and this is how it happened. So I think all things are possible without being a personal affront, if that makes any sense, Ben.
Absolutely. Like I said, I think there's opinions for everything. There were all kinds of opinions that were viable to say Grunfeld XYZ. I just think a lot of times, like when I listen to people's opinions, I'm like, well, but that's not like you're discounting other things. You're putting all of the equation, and people would just automatically, oh, because he did it, therefore it wouldn't be good.
Right. Bradley Beal picked good. Extending Andre Blatch, bad. You can say those two things, and they can all be true.
Absolutely. All right. Well, cool. I know you got to get out of here and go do other things. But just in general, like, you feeling? Does it feel good? Like, we joked in the show that, like, when they were 2-8, like, I was saying to myself, oh, my God, I'm doing a daily podcast. What am I going to talk about if they go back to the lottery? Just for a topic standpoint, I mean, is it just how much more fun is it? I guess it's sort of obvious, but, like, just the fact that they've been good. It's not even, like, they've made the playoffs before, but during those last two runs, you know, even though they finished, like, a 5 seed, nobody was going, oh, the Wizards. It was sort of like, all right, interesting, we'll see what happens. This feels like, whether it happens, I don't know, it feels like, hey, there's something happening here.
Because here's what I want, and again, as a lifelong Wizards fan, I've been through more Mark Allery and John Hotplate Williams than I care to remember, right?
I loved Hotplate Williams.
Well, I made one of us. I hate Liddell Echols, too, and you can tell him I said that if you ever run into him. Probably a nice man, but I resent what he stood for at that time. But you going through the Wizards history, and we've been so beaten down as Wizards fans that it's hard to be a Wizards fan, right? Because remember, all these years of Susan O'Malley telling you, come see Kobe Bryant, come see Tim Duncan, come see Kevin Garnett, right? So I want, in this job and in my real life as just a human being that loves the Wizards, I want people to care. I don't care how we get there. It doesn't matter what it is. As long as people are invested, it's good for me personally because there's just more Wizards stuff available, more guys like you doing more shows, more content. I want to consume it, and I love it. For my radio program, it's better. When they're 2-8, you can go, oh, man, they're 2-8. That stinks. You get one day of that. When they're a 50-win team, when they're getting to the second round, God forbid the conference finals, that's weeks, that's months, that's investment. That's all of a sudden people, the casual fan, going, hey, what's up with this team? And as soon as the casual eyeball, listen, the hardcore groups of us, some guys do an unbelievable job consuming and covering this team. Everyone from you and Truth About It and you know, the SB Nation blogs, the Bullets Not With, all these different guys do so good, right? They do such a great job consuming it, but it's almost like they're writing for each other at this point. And again, I'm not trying to diminish it because I love it. I consume all of it. It's great information. I want the casual fan to go, well, what else is out there? I want them to find your podcast. I want them to care in the same way that I do. Again, for obvious reasons. It's selfish, these reasons, but I've been here when they were really, really bad. And if they were ever really good, I get to say I was there the whole time. And that's kind of why I did it. So I stuck with it in 2001. You know, with more Popeye Jones minutes than should ever happen on a competing NBA team. You know what I mean?
That's probably like where people who, I guess if you're not old enough, you're not old enough, but the people who complain about the Grunfeld era, I always say in the 16 years before he showed up, they made the playoffs one time in 16 years. Those were some lean years. When they were just trying to get the 8 seed because they wanted that playoff money, and they would put out your Charles Joneses at centers and just like, oh man, they're not even really trying to win anything, they're just trying to be in the middle. And of course that's how the worst way to go about it. And then
the literal worst way to do it.
And then they trade Weber. I mean, maybe they had Weber, Howard, Rashid, and
Strickland.
Those are the days. All right,
only us can have our center hurt by a pair of wood shoes, by the way. Just keep that in mind. There's a stupid Billy Crystal movie and a pair of wood clogs that derailed that team before some of the arrests and bad trades. Whatever. I could go on all day, dude.
Oh, no, absolutely. That's, like I said, that's one reason. Like, even when I want to quit these guys, sometimes I'm like, all this history. Who else am I going to complain to you about? Yeah, right. things like this. Who would understand that pain? All right, Danny, really appreciate it, man. Of course, you guys already know this, but follow, you know, Grant and Danny. Listen to them Monday to Friday, 10 to 2, 106.7, at Funny Danny on Twitter. Dude, I really appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks.
Everybody gets the deal. Gets open for three. Dagger!
Old Prime, ultimate shot.